Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
A new investigation into allegations of sexual abuse at St. Paul's School in Concord, New Hampshire, finds this. Quote, put simply but starkly, several former faculty and staff sexually abused children in their care in a variety of ways, from clear boundary violations to repeated sexual relationships to rape, end quote. The report found that 13 former faculty and staff members at St. Paul's engaged in sexual misconduct for over four decades. The report also found that school administrators ignored and in some cases concealed the abuse. Joining me now with more is former Massachusetts Attorney General Scott Harshbarger. He's now senior counsel at the law firm Kasner and Edwards, and he led the investigation into St. Paul's School. Scott Harshbarger, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be back.
I'm glad to have you back, although sadly under these circumstances,
right.
Because the report that you, the investigation, the report that you've written, it sounds like what was going on for 40 years at St. Paul's School was rather horrific.
Well, I think as we, both you and your summary made clear, Meghna, and in our report makes clear that based on this almost year-long investigation into various phases of allegations of sexual misconduct by faculty abusing or taking advantage of students over a period of time at St. Paul's was really a significant pattern of violation of any kind of standard of protection of students from sexual abuse and sexual misconduct by the adults in their care. And this pattern was repeated. It was unfortunately kept relatively secret. And the process of the investigation, and frankly the leadership at the St. Paul's School today determined to heal, was geared to total transparency about what occurred, what we know, then what can be done moving forward.
Right. Well, I do want to get your thoughts about moving forward in just a moment. But first,
sure.
I mean, share with us some more of the details that you uncovered in this investigation. For example, Reverend Howard White Jr.
Right.
He was one of the folks that was accused of abusing students. Actually later on at St. George's School, but that's after he left St. Paul's School.
Right.
Tell us this story.
Well, it was the tenure of Howard White at St. Paul's that triggered the initial investigation that we were asked to do by the rector at St. Paul's School, an independent investigation to look into what, if anything, occurred during his tenure. And based on that, we identified several possible avenues, but one specific, very serious, repeated pattern of sexual abuse of a student by Reverend Howard White in his tenure. Then when that was revealed in our report, the rector reached out to the community more generally and said that we now want to hear from anybody else in any other period who might have had similar circumstances or be aware
mm-hmm.
of them. And that then unraveled. And what we then came across was a very significant effort by alumni at their 25th reunion in the year 2000 to bring to the attention of the then rector and leadership at St. Paul's School that there were a range of allegations of as many as 20 or more faculty over a period of years that may have abused or engaged in sexual misconduct, male and female, with students.
Right.
And that was the trigger for really bringing this forward, because, Meghna, one of the biggest issues that came so clear in the report in our investigation was, at the time, so few of these students at the time felt that they could, should, or would even be credited if they brought forth the allegations at the time, because many of the faculty were quite prominent,
right,
very well known.
Well, so Scott Harshbarger, let me ask you, because exactly to that point, I mean, in the case of Reverend White. After he left St. Paul's, he went to St. George's, and the pattern of abuse continued. I mean, to many people listening to this, they're going to this sounds awfully familiar with what was uncovered with the Catholic Church crisis.
Well, let's give credit where it's due here, Maida. That is the Boston Globe effort on the spotlight thing with the church. Revealed the same when it raised these issues with many of the independent schools, raised the same issue, the pattern of secrecy, the fact that these patterns were known by many people at the time, were either tolerated or avoided people knowing about it. So the pattern's very familiar. It's a very consistent pattern, and one that actually in this Commonwealth we have seen and continue to see in the area of child abuse, domestic violence, and other kinds of similar circumstances.
But if I can just jump in, Scott, and forgive me for interrupting you, so the thing about what we learned about what happened with the Catholic Church, the clergy sex abuse crisis there was, it was not just the fact of the abuse, which was awful enough as it was, but the fact that the church itself was complicit in covering it up.
Right.
And I'm wondering what you discovered regarding the St. Paul's School investigation. I mean, you looked at a 40-year period from 1948 to 1988. I mean, how much did the administration of the school know, and what did they do in response during that time?
You know, what appears to be the major factor here was either that was one of the biggest problems was very little actual reporting to leadership that occurred. Some things were known, and to the extent that they were known, they might have been dealt with. But what we saw here was that when this information was brought to the attention of the leadership, they looked at it from several factors, but one of them was in cases where people were deceased already, they felt that the harm had been done, that there was no danger going forward, and therefore it was treated, was tried to be resolved at that level. What it ignored, it seems now clear, was the pain and trauma to the victims, who were just now being able to bring forth their experiences, talk about them, let people know about them. And that limited scope of that investigation really did not became a major problem because it remained a problem for the alumni for many, many years. We then saw it because they came forward and sort of said, look, we thought we'd reported this then. Nobody did anything about it then. We never heard about it. And so now this is the opportunity to deal with it more openly in a transparent and open way. And it's not so clear to me, Meghna, that it was a totally conscious, we are not going to look at this, we refuse to believe it. It was that to some extent there were other factors involved, whether it was the reputation of the institution, whether the fact that, you know, there was the survivor, the people involved had not, were no longer alive and therefore couldn't be examined. But the trauma, the impact that was so clear, and we corroborated in at least 13 cases and 10 other cases that we of different faculty that we had some information about, was that this information was corroborated. It was severe.
Yeah.
It was known at
well,
the time.
Well, Scott, I've got just under a minute here to go, and there's one last important question I want to ask, because you mentioned the Globe's reporting on this. And the Spotlight team, you know, has reported that at least 67 private schools in New England have faced accusations about staffers sexually abusing or harassing more than 200 students. Again, we just got a couple seconds here, Scott, but how does your report on St. Paul's, your findings there, sort of fit into that bigger picture?
I think it just is a continuation of the same pattern. What I think is important about this particular report and the response of the school is that they are determined that it was crucial moving forward that they clear the record, that they bring this out into the open. It's painful. It has many impacts, but the willingness to be transparent and now to invite even more, making it clear that if alumni have other stories to tell, reports to make, they want to continue to hear them.
Yep.
They want to continue to try to heal and reconcile and establish a level of trust that simply has not been there.
It's important.
And that's a great tribute. That's what I hope we're all learning is
right.
Leaders now matter. The courage.
Scott, I'm so sorry. I've got to cut you off there, but I'm out of time. Scott Harshbarger. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Thank you.
This is Radio Boston.